May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's very good to be here to pray with you this afternoon and to share in this Good Friday service. In a few moments' time, we will listen to the wonderful and profound story of the Passion of Jesus as told in the Gospel of John. And as we listen to the story as told by John, may I encourage you to listen carefully for three things: the crown, the cross, and the cave. First, listen for the crown. The theme of kingship runs through John's story of the Passion. The soldiers weave a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They dress him in a purple robe, purple the color of kings and emperors. The crowds will call out everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. Pilate will present Jesus to the crowds with these words: "Here is your king." Part mocking, part doubting. And Pilate would inscribe the charge above the head of Jesus on the cross: "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." In part mocking and ironic, a crushing of resistance. But when the chief priests say to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'this man said I am the King of the Jews,'" Pilate offers his famous response: "What I have written, I have written." There is something more than irony there. And the crown in the story introduces us to one of the central questions John intends us to ask from the Palm Sunday story onwards. Who is this Jesus who is about to be crucified? We will not understand the story unless we ask the question. And John answers through all of his story: this is the King, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world, who uses power in very different ways. This is the King who does not assume the throne through violence or force of arms. This is the King motivated by love, who brings in a kingdom not of this world. This is a King with integrity, who summons a kingdom of justice and peace. This King is not for one nation in a single lifetime, but for every nation in all the time to come. And this King does not inaugurate a dynasty, but forms a community through his death on the cross. He comes not to be served, but to serve. And this is why the crown of thorns in this story we will hear is such a powerful symbol still of power combined with suffering, which saves and redeems. And again this week, the crown of thorns has been in the spotlight as one of the relics saved from the tragic fire in Notre Dame. As we listen to the crown, listen to the way John tells the story of the cross. For John will tell us the story of the crucifixion in a scene in which the principal actor is Jesus. Jesus will carry the cross by himself here. You will hear no dialogue of interaction between the soldiers and Jesus, nor between Jesus and those crucified with him. Even from the cross, Jesus will take the initiative in the interaction between the disciple whom he loves and his mother. And most powerful are Jesus' final words spoken. It is finished. The sense and meaning of the word, it is accomplished. It has been done. And then in the active, Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. No one takes his life. He gives it. Death is not something which happens to Jesus because of the actions of others. Jesus has come to the place of the skull to accomplish something. By the time he bows his head and gives up his spirit, it has been accomplished. What has he done? What has been completed here? Well, John has given us clues all through his story, in the Baptist language of the Lamb of God, in the image of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, in the picture of the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Each time we celebrate the Eucharist, according to the Book of Common Prayer, the priest says these words: He made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. You may like to have those words in your mind this afternoon. They remain for me the best summary of what is happening here. And every time I hear those words or say them, I pause to reflect on that phrase, for the sins of the whole world. I cannot imagine the gravity and the weight of the sin of the whole world. I understand the sin of one life a little bit, or the small number of lives which have crossed my path. The sin of the whole world for a single day is beyond our comprehension. The sin of the whole world in all of time, beyond imagining. But so great is the power of what is accomplished here. A full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And here is healing and forgiveness and renewal and grace and new life and fresh beginnings without condition for everyone. Listen for the crown and the cross. But even on Good Friday, we must look ahead a little to the cave. At the end of the Passion story, John will introduce two unlikely heroes and secret disciples. Two scholars and friends who are able to act even in the midst of grief and disappointment, and perform an act of love for Jesus, in whom they had such hope. They wash and anoint his body. They lay him in the burial cave. We know, because we know the end of the story, that all of their gentle work will be undone. And all of the sad and violent work of Good Friday will be unraveled. On the Sabbath, the great day of preparation, all will lie still and undisturbed. But on the second night, as the world sleeps, the great reversal will begin. The stone will be rolled away. The linen bandages and spices will be unraveled and folded and set apart. The shroud will be set to one side. The mark of the spear and the nails will remain, but the flesh of Jesus will be healed. The ravages of crucifixion will be gone. Death will not be reversed, but conquered, journeyed through to the other side. Life is restored, decay is arrested, warmth will return. There will be movement and laughter and tears of joy, and nothing will ever be the same. God's love made flesh is giving his life, and life through him has been returned to him and to all of humankind. So this is a serious moment as we enter into the Passion story. But even so, we will leave this act of devotion with hearts tingling with anticipation, not cast down by the solemn events we have rehearsed, but deepened in them, with our minds on tiptoe, straining forward to catch the first sound of Alleluia, with faith in resurrection stirring once again, as we will come back to this place to celebrate the great gift of life in all its fullness. And so we listen to this, the greatest of stories. The Passion, the Crown, the Cross, the Cave. And we wonder, and we hope.